taking some time to share some of the experiences that a few people have had overseas and abroad over the past year. Rather than have it on separate Sundays, we really thought it would be important to have all those here. And we do have Sean and Work heading to Haiti in a little bit. Lindsay Bowman wasn't able to be here with us, but there are some copies of a few reports back on the table at the back. And there's something from Lindsay and Paul and the Ethiopia team. If you want to read up a little bit more, excuse me, on where they've been, what they've done. Lindsay was a couple months in northern India in a hospital, a Christian ministry there, and some great things in what she's written, so I encourage you to do that. There's also a link to her blog so you can get even more detailed information on that. As a church, we really view missions as important. It's not just a side thing we kind of do. It is what we're called to. And there's been a movement called the Missional Church that's been around for a few years now. But the heart of it is calling the church, which is not an institution, but calling people back to living life on mission. That means just simply being purposeful in our relationships and how we live our life, that we are each missionaries. And if we each would act like some of the people we'll hear today and some of the people we support, you can see them on the back wall on the bulletin board. If we would do that every day, we believe that Jesus would be shared more effectively and we would better be the church, people who are purposeful and living a life of mission. Oftentimes, we view, as North Americans, we have North America Church, and then we have missions, right? They're kind of separate. Even Bible colleges do that. You go through your streams of, you know, you want to be a pastor or a missionary. And the reality is they're both one and the same, just different cultures. We have unique cultures around us here in Kitchener-Waterloo. Each community is its own small little culture, given the people who live there, its traditions, how long it's been around, what schools, businesses are there. We have our own unique cultures. We do as families, and if you have an ethnic background that you're still tied to, you have traditions and things that are there as well. So it's important that we learn those things, and we realize that when we go out those doors each Sunday morning, we're literally being sent on mission. So missions is not just going across the world. Missions is not just buying smoothie makers. Missions is what we do all the time. And so this morning we've invited a few of the people who've been away for some period of time to come and share, not so much their reports. If you want to find out their reports, that's in some of the written things, but more so share experience. Not all of us could go and do and see and experience some of the things they did, but God moved, and God moved them. And so we've invited some of them to come and share. First person we'll invite up is Paul Smith. Paul Smith was gone for about a month to Africa this summer, and would you welcome him as he comes?
Thank you. I was in East Africa. I was in Kenya and Tanzania from July 15th through August 12th, so just a little under a month. While I was there, I was speaking in five conferences, four in Kenya and one in Tanzania. We had about 450 pastors and church leaders that were in the classes I taught while we were over there. Mostly I taught evangelism. I also taught, in one conference I taught justice, biblical justice, and that was in the heart of the slum in Nairobi. So that has different meaning from what it means here in Canada, needless to say. And then I also, in one of the conferences, taught a class on biblical leadership for men. So as men, what does biblical leadership mean? If I have one story that kind of summarizes why I did what I did, it's this one. I was in a conference in Kenya, and I was speaking on evangelism, and the topic of discussion was, why do people in our church not evangelize? And so I was asking the pastors and church leaders in that area, I said, All right, why do people in your pews, why are they not evangelizing? And I was expecting to hear some of the, you know, what I would say are probably some of the reasons we don't evangelize here in Canada, you know, afraid. I think usually when I talk most people, that's kind of the big one. But I had one of the pastors said something fairly interesting. He said, this was a man, gentleman, about, I'd say about 70. And he said, I've been a pastor for a long time. I was saved when the first missionaries came to this region. And when the first missionaries came to this region, I'm very grateful to them because they shared the gospel with me. But when they came, they did everything themselves. They were the ones who preached on Sundays. They were the ones who went out and evangelized. They were the ones who gave money to support the building of the building. The missionaries here did everything themselves. And then when the missionaries left, we looked around and said, now what are we going to be doing? Because the missionaries had been doing everything until this point, so we don't really know what to do. And so he said, the people here in my church, they're not evangelizing because we don't know how. No one's taught us how to evangelize. I don't know how to evangelize because no one taught me how to evangelize, so how can I teach my church how to evangelize? And that might seem like an isolated incident, but there's only one trained church leader for every roughly 450,000 people outside of North America. You know, how are we expecting our churches to grow deeply? How are we expecting our pastors to go up and preach the gospel? How are we expecting our churches to understand better what it means to be a Christian when no one's telling these pastors what it means? Where basically, it'd be like me going down the pew and pointing at you and say, hey, next week, you're going to give the sermon. I mean, most of us would be like, I think I'm going to be in Toronto next week. I can't do it. But it's the same way for most of the world. People who don't really, I mean, they have the exact same knowledge we have here of, well, yeah, I have a Bible, but, you know, when I read about the genealogies in Leviticus, I have no idea how I'm supposed to preach that. Or, you know, when I open the Bible, their words, I have no idea what those words mean. You know, justification, I have no idea what justification means. And we have those people, people like us, are pastors and church leaders because there's no one else. There's no one who has that training. And so what I did here, just for a short month, I've done this for the past, though, probably 5 or 6 years, is gone for a month or two and just did a very targeted, all right, I can't teach you everything you need to know to be a pastor in 1 week, but hey, maybe I can help you know a little more about evangelism so you can train people in your church to be better evangelists. Hey, I can't teach you everything it means to preach, but here's a quick 1 week lesson on how to preach. Or, you know, I can't make you a perfect leader in 1 week, but hey, let me give you some biblical principles from Scripture that will let you be a better leader and so let you serve the church and serve the church in Africa or elsewhere better. This is actually what I'm doing. If you haven't seen me around lately, it's because I've just started being a full-time missionary. I'm with Training Leaders International. You can read it in, I believe I'm on the second page of the short-term mission report. What I do is what I just said. I go out where there are countries that don't have access to training, and we go there for a targeted week, and we give what little training we can, and this organization will go back to the same region several times in a year, so that every time we go, we can do a different, one time might be, here's how to preach, one time maybe, here's how to lead, one time maybe a New Testament survey, one time might be an Old Testament survey. So my mission as a full-time missionary is I will be leading those groups, and I'll be going overseas about 6 times a year. My next scheduled trip is January 17th, and I will be going to Ghana, which is also in Africa. If everyone can picture that kind of bulge in Africa, Ghana's right on the south of that bulge. So that'll be my next trip in January. After the service, I'll be in the back. I have this little sheet. It's a prayer supporters sheet. Basically, all I'm saying is, hey, if you want to pray for me and for my ministry, write your name down. and your email address. And I'm not going to sell your email address. This isn't how I support my ministry. I don't sell people's email addresses. What I do is I say, hey, I know I'm forgetful. And so if everyone's like me, you're also forgetful. So all it is if you give me your email address, once, twice a month, I'll send out an email saying, hey, remember me? You said you'd pray for me. Let me just tell you some things you can pray about. So if that's something you might be interested in, I'll be in the back and you can sign up. And if you don't want to pray for me, that's fine. That's between you and God. But we know that prayer is important, and the foundation of my ministry is, hey, I'd rather have your prayers than your money. I'd like both, but hey, if I can only get one, I'd much rather have your prayers than your money, because prayers get God to act, and I am much more confident that me being poor with God's support is much better than me being rich without God's support.
Thank you very much. So it's a soft expectation, but I hope his sheet's full. Thanks so much, Paul. And isn't that interesting hearing, we're not so different. Most of us would say, you know, I don't feel trained either. I feel like I need to know more about my faith, more about the gospel to be able to serve more effectively. So thanks, Paul. Dave Remus has been gone a couple times now. He just got back in August with YWAM, gone for two stints in New Zealand, and he's going to take a little bit of time to share. Would you welcome him as he comes?
Thank you. So yeah, just want to start off by thanking you, Country Hills, as a church and also individuals for your prayer support and also for your financial support. That it wouldn't be without you guys. This past year I've been away, it wouldn't have happened without you, so I'm forever grateful for your support. Just to talk a little bit about it, I just want to touch quickly on YWAM, what it is and what we do. YWAM is Youth with a Mission. It's a three-month lecture phase with a two-month outreach phase. So in the lecture phase, you have speakers come in each week that teach you on different subjects. And then the outreach phase is you take what you've learned in class and you actually apply it out on the missions field. So I did my DTS in 2011 in New Zealand in a little place called Matamata, also known as Hobbiton, where the movie The Hobbit was filmed. Came back here for 6 months and then was called back to staff. And so I staffed the first 6 months, led a team to Fiji, and then also in New Zealand we did outreach in Paihia and Kaitaia, which is two little spots on the North Island. And then the second school, I was asked to be one of the school leaders, and then I was also able to lead a team to the Philippines and also Wellington in New Zealand. So just to touch on a little bit of what God really did in Fiji, we did a lot of church planting, we started a youth group, really started a church from absolutely nothing to which is a full building now, thanks to God. We experienced a Category 5 hurricane, so I got to see God's real raw power in ripping trees out of the ground. And then we also got to help out cleaning up after that. We worked in the prisons, preaching the gospel, doing skits and songs, and seeing salvation in the prisons, and also healings in the hospitals, where we'd go in and pray for people, and you'd see people with broken legs walk out of the hospital with you. In Paihia, we handed out sausages on New Year's to about 600 drunk kids that would go for New Year's and just kind of waste their whole time. And so we were there handing out sausages and praying for them, and we also saw a lot of salvations there as well. To touch on, in the Philippines, we were in Tagaytay, which is known as the hottest place in all the Philippines. The coolest that it got was 40 degrees Celsius. We did a lot of street evangelism, prayer walking, church planting, and tribal ministry as well. We'd go out into the forest and talk to the people that were outcast by society. The second part of the Philippines was Olongapo City, which is right on the Subic Bay, which we worked with the prostitutes in the bar ministries. We'd go out at night and stay out in the bars until about 3 o'clock in the morning, just loving on the girls. Not as much sharing the gospel, but making relationship with them and asking them their dreams, their visions for life, and actually getting them to think outside of the bar. And we saw actually some salvations in there as well, and girls actually leaving the bar. Glory to God. And then in Wellington, we did cook-offs, made food parcels, and then handed them out to families that didn't have any food or any money. I just wanted to share a funny story about Paihia, which is also known as Drunk Fest, is what they call it. We were there, and just a short little story, try to make it quick. I was working with a guy, and we were there, and we were doing prayer walks throughout the night for these kids, and just that God would really break through this in this place. And we ended up meeting this one guy, and he totally rejected us, told us to take our business elsewhere in more explicit terms. But so we were like, okay, that's fine. We'll keep praying for you. And actually, the next day, he came into our tent and asked us, he's like, Who is this Jesus guy that you were talking to me about last night? Like, he must have had an encounter or something. And so we're like, oh, wow, this is awesome. So we sat him down and we just started sharing the gospel with him. This is the first time that he ever heard it. And we asked him, he's like, would you like to accept Jesus as your Lord and your Savior? And he's like, yeah, I would really love to do that. And so we asked him, he's like, well, what do I got to do? And so we said, well, we'll lead you in the prayer of salvation and just repeat after me. And but he told us, no, I want to pray. I want to do it by myself. And our exact words were, God wants you to come bare before him, that he doesn't want you to have any masks, or he doesn't care what this person thinks of you or what this person thinks of you. He sees your heart and he wants you because you're his child. And so he stopped us there, and he's like, all right, I want to pray. And as he stands up out of his chair, and he starts to take off his shirt, and as he takes off his shirt, we're kind of looking at him a little funny, and all right, this is kind of weird, but whatever, he's accepting Jesus. And so he starts mumbling a couple words. We can see that he's praying. And after a little while, he starts to undo his pants, and he actually drops his pants and his underwear, and so he's standing there bare before the Lord. If I were to do it again, I would have used different terms, but it was, actually, God actually really worked inside of my heart during that time as much as he did in his life. And as he was standing there with his arms open, accepting the Lord bare, butt naked, and it was actually a scarring time, but also a time that I'll never forget, that how much, like, God actually spoke to my heart in that time, that he said, like, how much more should you keep my clothes on, but come bare before me and lay your life down for me as much as this guy that doesn't even know me, that you've known me pretty much your entire life, and yet you still reserve, you still hold some stuff back from me, as this guy, he's willing to give up everything, even his clothes, for me. And so that time was an amazing time, and it's a time that I'll never forget. And how much more should I lay down my life and give up everything for him, that I know him and that I know a little bit, at least a little bit about him, and that my family's a believer, and that everyone far back in my family that I know believes in the Lord, as with this guy that just came to salvation. And so I have tons of more stories, but I actually have a little film to show you guys, just a little taste of where I've been and all the different places. But thank you guys for your time and for letting me share.
Thanks, Dave. And I think, you know, maybe you gained a lady friend out of the experience. So, Sarah, if you're watching online, Dave says hi in California. She lives, so that makes the experience that much. Oh, he's smiling and he's red. Sorry. Doesn't that make you excited? You know, what I'd love to see for us is that we don't just have Sundays where we share about our missions abroad. But we have people who can say, you know, this year I lived in Waterloo on such and such a street, and here's what I got to do in my community. And in my school I did this, and with my friends I did this. I work at such and such a place, and I've been there 25 years, and this year God broke through and did some things. Wouldn't that be exciting? Because what we're hearing done abroad is the same things God is calling us to hear. It's not that one is better than the other. They are the same. So I'm going to invite my friends up from the Ethiopia team. We spent 10 days in Ethiopia with Christian Horizons Global. Some of you will remember that last year, Michael Alamu came and spoke in November to talk about the change. I'll talk a little bit about the program later. Talk about the change of ministry for them and how we've been supporting the Sigiri children. So at the back, you'll see pictures of all the kids we've been supporting from Sigiri for the past 4 years. Many of you sponsor them as have been involved personally, but we got opportunity. Michael invited us. We put the call out, and here's the crazy people who decided to go very last minute and put it together. So everyone's just going to take a little bit to share some of their experiences, and then I'll share a little bit afterwards.
So a moment that I really remember is probably the last day of camp that we were at when I was talking to some of the kids, and they just started asking me about my family and, like, Canada and stuff. So I was telling them that I have a sister and a brother and, like, a bunch of cousins and aunts and uncles and parents. And then the one kid I was talking to, well, I asked him about his family, and then he turned to me and said, "I have no family." And I was just kind of like, standing there for a bit, not really sure what to say, kind of took me off guard, and it just made me really realize how blessed I was to live in a country like this and have family and friends all around me.
I went to Ethiopia not having a clue what to expect. We didn't have a set plan to build a church or do anything particular like that. We had a lot of events that we were attending and stuff, but it still was a completely different experience that I did not know what to expect. While I was there, We went out to a lot of restaurants, a lot of places to eat, and I noticed nobody was really drinking. Nobody was sitting there having a beer. And so I said something to one of the guys that was from Christian Horizons, and he said, well, no. He said, if you're a Christian, we don't drink here. There's no need. And I looked at myself and I thought, oh, well, it's kind of different from Canada. Like, lots of us go out after work for a beer and wings. And so then I offered him some food the one day when we were out eating. And he said, oh, no, I'm fasting. And I was thrown off guard again, because these are things that we don't normally do. And he said he fasts twice a week. And then we attended a church service on a Sunday, and it was 3 hours long. And again, I was talking to him about it. He said he would go home, he would fast, and he would pray for himself for another 3 hours or so. And I was completely taken by this, and it made me really evaluate our society here and how we are as a church, as Christians, and as individuals. And so it was something that I really brought back with me and have used to reflect on myself and change some of the ways that I do things. And so it was just something that very, very much sat with me. And I think that they'll never know how much they actually taught me compared to what I was ever able to teach them.
Darlene and myself, our trip actually began last November when Michael spoke, and after church we said we really have to go. When the church said they were putting a team together to go, my only concern was the time frame. Being self-employed, I'm not easily being able to get time off work. So we found out it was the 2 weeks during our summer shutdown, so we closed the shop on the 19th and we flew out the 20th. So it was, God opened that door, perfect timing. Because I'm in a trade, the trade school we went to was a real eye-opener. It was really cool. We saw the sewing department, really taught how to sew so they could make things and be able to sell it and help support themselves. They also taught them electronics. Nothing was going that day. And then we were in the shop where they were teaching them how to weld. And it was a bunch of men, young men, and there was one female in there. And that was really, it wasn't shocking, but it was just strange because it's a real male-oriented country. And to see a female in there with a bunch of males learning how to weld was really awesome. So she got to speak, and she said she wanted to learn a trade, do better for herself so she could please God, and then be more supportive to her family and her country. So she had her priorities straight. It was God, country, and herself, which just kind of blew me away. Speaking with the Regals, the first week we were there, they were teaching. I asked John how the teaching was going, and he said, compared to teaching in Canada, he said most of the kids that he taught, he could tell they were well-fed, unlike some of the schools here that have breakfast programs, because some of the kids aren't fed breakfast before they go to school. He also said that they're all well-fit. They all walk everywhere, unlike some of the kids that he teaches here in Kitchener. And they all want to come, and they all want to learn. He said it's a teacher's dream, three things that make a good teacher-student relationship. So that really touched me as well.
As Jim said, we had pretty much committed ourselves in November to go. Just the experience before we left, Jeremy talked about, you know, sharing in your community. When people heard we were going, wanting to know why we were going there, who we were going with, the opportunity was there to share not only about Country Hills, about the kids that we sponsor, but also Christian Horizons. And so a lot of people who don't have a physical church connection got to hear a little bit about what was happening. And what God's been doing over there, and what we were hoping, or you know, going over to learn about. So that was the start of the process before we even got away from here, and just being able to share about that. When we got to Ethiopia, we've talked about it. I wasn't completely surprised at the building facilities and that kind of thing, where people lived. We pretty much expected the types of homes and huts. I was surprised at the people. Most were dressed just like you and I, not something that we expected. There were some who were in more a traditional long dress, covered heads, but all in all, they looked like us. If they were here, you wouldn't have known the difference. They looked well, they looked fed, they were clean. That is something that I wasn't completely expecting, but I was so thankful to see it. We got to experience so many different things. We talk about the persecuted church. We physically got to visit behind a big iron gate. We went to visit, in this room, it was full. You couldn't move, but there were all pastors in training in there, people who had converted from the Muslim faith, were there to learn more of the gospel, how to spread the gospel, they were in hiding. They weren't hiding from their governments. They were hiding more from their families, from the Muslim faith, because if they had known that they had converted, circumstances wouldn't have been good for them, whether they were separated from their families. Worst case scenarios. So they were there to learn and in hiding. And from there, they would go out to different areas and hope to start church plants, just to teach people. So it was humbling to see them there. We can be so open with who we talk to, what we talk about. They were just very, very eager to learn and to share with us as well. So that's something that I will remember. And it's just a little more connection when we talk about the persecuted church, to physically have been able to meet someone in those circumstances. It makes it a little more personal.
I liked the coffee at Ethiopia. I had lots of fun with Peter. I made a new friend. His name was Johannes, and we liked to play soccer. I was one of the only white boys there.
One thing that really stuck with me was how like caring and generous they were, and they always, like the people who worked with Christian Horizons, they always put us first, no matter what, especially when I was feeling sick and I was in the hospital, and I couldn't, I was too weak to even hold my own weight, so they would grab my arms and help me walk down to get my blood tested and different needles and stuff, and they were just praying for me, and I felt like, they were just always there for me and us, and we were always their first priority, and yeah.
I didn't want to forget anything, so I wrote just a couple things down, but Ethiopia is just a beautiful country, and we were there in rainy season, so it was just green and lush, and so that was the first thing that struck us, was just the scenery alone, and the people are lovely, like just generous and friendly and loving, and they would do anything for us, and they didn't want to ever see us sad. Like the one night when Caitlin was really sick and I was kind of crying a bit about it, and they just hated that I was crying. Like they just wanted to assure me it was going to be fine, and they didn't like to see any of us sad at all. And their hospitality, I've never experienced hospitality like that. Like they genuinely cared about every need we had, and they wouldn't have let us, well, one silly thing, but we had bought a bunch of gifts at the Christian Horizons gift shop before we traveled back to Addis to fly home, and we had bought a whole bunch of this clay coffee pots and stuff, and as soon as we bought it, we looked at each other and we said, how are we getting this home? And Meggers saw our guide that had been with us most of the week. He held two coffee pots in his hand for 4 hours while we drove back to Addis, and he wouldn't let me take them back. Like, I insisted I would hold them, and he would not give them back to me. Just hospitality, like, we have no idea of here. Something that was a little frustrating about the trip was that we didn't get to be in one place for long. Because we were there with Christian Horizons, they wanted to show us as many of their projects as they could, and so we traveled a lot from site to site. And so it was very interesting, and all their projects were amazing, and we were very impressed with the work Christian Horizons is doing, but it was frustrating because we didn't get to be in one place for long, and so we didn't get to connect really with a lot of people. But as a mom, I was really proud of our kids because that part of the trip was a bit boring sometimes. Like, we'd go and we'd be part of a presentation. And you guys did really well, and we were really proud of you for that. And it was really, as a mom, one of the biggest joys of the trip was watching them interact with the people we met at the camp, or even just outside the guest house where we stayed. They'd play soccer with them, or it just really meant a lot to me to watch them do that. And I saw them grow, the three of them, and how they care for each other. They weren't perfect. They still fought sometimes, even in Ethiopia, but just watching them take care of each other. One day we visited a dairy farm, and we had to walk quite a ways through this field, and it was pouring rain. We were soaked. And I just remember watching Caitlin help, like Wesley was kind of discouraged at that point, to put it mildly, and watching Caitlin help Wesley along and just encourage him that we're almost there. And it's just little snapshots that I'll always have in my memory. The one thing I was impressed with too was the Christian Horizons global organization, it was very interesting to see all their projects, but what I was impressed with was that they need our support and they need our prayers, but they don't need us there. Like, they've got this. They know the people and the needs, and they understand the culture, and so they are the best people to care for the needs, and they're passionate. They're passionate about their faith. And they genuinely love the kids. We got to spend a couple days with kids from a group home. That they're orphan children. They live in the group home. And watching the workers interact with those kids just really spoke to me. And I was impressed with the hope they have. They really believe they can make a difference. They're not overwhelmed with the task. They're ready to take it on, and they work very hard. And I was really impressed with that. And the highlight, though, was definitely being at the camp with the Hope House kids. Just being with the kids, watching the counselors. The counselors were probably in their 20s. And just passionate young men. And they just exuded their love for Jesus and their love for these kids. And they took very seriously the responsibility of caring for the kids and for teaching them about Jesus, and they didn't waste a minute. They just really took that call seriously, it really spoke to me about time management and just doing what we're called to do and doing it well with all of our energy. Their deep-rooted faith inspired and challenged me. That's about it. Oh, I'm just going to talk about the tug-of-war, right?
Yes.
Sorry. the one day at the camp, we did a tug-of-war with the kids, so it was the kids against all the adults and the counselors. And so, of course, the kids won. And afterwards, I was rubbing my hands. They were kind of sore from the rope. And the pastor of the camp came over, and he was concerned that I was okay. And I'm like, oh, I'm fine. And I said, we just had a tug-of-war, and the kids won. And he said, of course they won. They're our hope in our future. We believe in them. And so they really do believe in their children, and they believe they can make a difference in their children's lives, who will in turn make a difference in their country and their families. And so they pour everything into those kids, and they have limited resources, but they use them well. And so, yeah, it just spoke to me about our kids and how, like, their children's job is to get a good education and to be responsible and to get through school and to work hard so that you are a productive citizen at the end of it. And I thought that's something we could definitely learn from Ethiopia. And we saw a lot of hope. We also saw poverty when we were in the city. There was a woman that, she wasn't begging, but she quietly approached me, and she had a baby on her back and two children at her side, and just looked at me and said, as a mother. And so there's a lot of good happening in Ethiopia, but there is still poverty, for sure.
So what I should have done to begin with is do introductions down the line in case we don't know each other. Alyssa Shewart and James Duncan and Jim and Darlene Gibbons. Wes was over there. Wesley Shewart, Caitlin Shewart, Stephanie and Jeremy Shewart. And we were both invited, as Jim and Darlene shared, in November by Christian Horizons and sent by you as ambassadors. The purpose of the trip was to coincide with the Regals, John and Val, and their kids who were there 3 months in Ethiopia working with Christian Horizons Global, teaching English. Ethiopia is trying to move to an all-English high school system, and so the kids need a foot up so that their kids, as Stephanie said, being the hope and the future of the country, can be world players and speak the language of business and commerce. And so us going, meeting with Regals and being at that camp was really well-timed because, as I'll share in a few minutes, how the program is changing, what our contact with the camp is going to be, and Christian Horizons, and how we partner together now. And they were really looking for that. In fact, in Christian Horizons' annual report, in several places they talk about partnerships, and Christian Horizons Global, Christian Horizons Ethiopia are all about partnerships, and we as a church are mentioned several times. They want to continue to partner with us, but that's changing a little bit. But one of the things that really impacted me, I think I'll just share two of them really quickly. One was exactly what Paul was sharing. I had opportunity to, as the ladies say, sit down and have tea and cookies while they were in the cold rain, but I got to go with a group of pastors from the Asella region. And these pastors are the poorest of the poor. And the purpose of Christian Horizons training was to teach them how to be bivocational. There's a stigma there in Ethiopia that pastors who are appointed, much like you said, Paul, it's they pick some leaders from the church and say, would you go and plant a church? And they quit everything, and there's no money. And so they start church planting and pastoring with no money. And so to come and share and hear about pastors who are the poorest of the poor in Ethiopia, and Christian Horizons is trying to break that cycle and teach them to be bivocational. How do we plant a church that way? And it just really impacted me on how I pastor in my journey. I began bivocational, but in no way like that at all. And so just very humbling experience. But just being involved with Megersaw, one of our guides, and Kibeta, one of the leaders of Christian Horizons Ethiopia, and asking some questions about the organization. Everything we did was purposeful. Everything was tied together. From, you see pictures of dances they did and little, some of the kids from the group homes who sang with us, and the camp and the farm and the training and what Darlene shared. Everything was tied together and purposeful. And not just purposeful like, hey, we've got this idea, how can we make this work? Sometimes we do that, don't we? Purposeful, and here's the goal out here. We believe in Ethiopia, we believe in these people, and we believe that poverty can end. Poverty is spiritual, as well as economic, as well as emotional, as well as physical. And so how can Christian Horizons end poverty in Ethiopia? And that's why we partner with them, because they believe holistically that we have an important part to play there. And hearing that time and time and time and time again, and being in a Canadian context where that's not always the case, we're not always as purposeful as we can be. And we don't always have this goal out there of lives changed for Jesus. Sometimes it feels like we just do programs for program's sake. But so thank you for sending us, and we had a great time, and would you say thanks to the team? Thanks, guys. So I guess it begs the question, where do we go from here? You can hit the lights if you want. The go from here, a couple things, and then I'll ask the worship team, you guys can come up and get ready. The sponsorship program has ended with Christian Horizons. Those of you who are sponsoring kids, or they've probably sent you a letter by now, or will be, to pull those funds away from that one child and give it to the caretakers. So the children that we support, the pictures of the 40-some-odd kids, the kids at the camp, all are orphans of HIV/AIDS, but have a caretaker left. The group homes, there are no caretakers. So that's a relative or a single parent. And so what they've done, instead of supporting one kid to go to Hope House, which we got to visit the building of, every weekend for food and training, the money goes to the caretakers. And the caretakers are able to spend that on the whole home. But it's much better than that. They've started self-help groups that, actually, the idea came from Ethiopia, and they've tried it in Kenya and some other places, and they're bringing it back to Ethiopia refined. And in Siguiri, which is where the Hope House children are from, we got to meet all the caretakers and the self-help groups. And so they've got 30 caretakers, and they've broken them into three groups of 10. And these caretakers take half of the stipend they get, half of what's donated to them, and put it in a business fund. And as that business fund grows, they'll be able to start a business together with their 10 other partners. And that will mean they're self-reliant, they're not dependent on anyone, and that they have enough, not just for one child, but enough for all the children. And the church has filled in the back end by providing training and witnessing and doing all the other things that Christian Horizons used to do that way. And this Siguiri group are doing the best out of any self-help group in all Christian Horizons global. Each caretaker is taking 50% of what they're given and putting it into the business fund. So what they've asked us to do is to partner, and so next year we're partnering with one of these groups to match funds so that they'll build their business over the next 3 years at double the rate. And if they reach a point where they've got enough and they've started a business and they're self-dependent, remember that's the goal here. It's not to be dependent on us. We're partners. That they would then take the money we continue to donate and give it there. So we've been able to budget for one group, but sometime next year we'll likely take up a special offering to see if we can help more than one group. There are three groups in Siguiri, three groups of the caretakers of the children that we've been supporting already. So thank you for sending. Thank you for partnering. Christian Horizons really sees us as a big partner and is trying new things. In fact, they're saying, why can't other churches try and do what Country Hills has stumbled into? And so we have. We've stumbled into this partnership, and we're glad for that. Thank you, Paul, sharing this morning. And Dave, read up about Lindsay, support Shauna. Want to just quick announcement, but next week is a bit different week. We begin the story. If you haven't picked up your resources, get those. You don't have to. You can get a reading plan. You can either start reading this week or next week. It's fine either way. But next week, as we kick off the story, We've invited Dr. Jim Mason from Creation Ministry International come and speak with us, because that's foundational to the whole story, understanding creation. A lot of us wrestle with the whole creation, evolution, truth, 6 days, what does all that mean? And so we've invited him to come. So that's going to be about a 50 to 60 minute presentation, but it's well worth our time to get into that. So if you have friends or neighbors, college students, university students who you think might be interested in that, it would be a great Sunday to come. So we're going to spend some time just closing the service in worship. Stand with us as we sing. Separate. Nothing can separate. Even if I ran away, your love never fails. I know I still make mistakes. You have new mercies for me every day. Your love never fails. You stand the same through the